This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
The natural next thing when you have local radio stations in Denmark and a small newspaper is to have some cattle in Nicaragua. That's the obvious next thing, Jason.
Wow. Yeah, that was the exact thing I was thinking.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey there, it's Jason with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show, my friend. Thank you so much for hanging out, letting me bring a little travel into your ears today. This is the show to help you travel the world on your terms to fill your life with as much travel as you desire. That's what we do here. If you're new to the community, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. And I've got an exciting show for you today. We touch on a lot of topics. First of all, one question that came up, does travel make you more creative? What do you think? Does travel make you more creative? I mean, I can tell you that for me, there's definitely been times where I feel more creative on the road. Maybe it's the change of scene. Maybe it's just the body being in motion. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts? I know that's one of the many questions that comes up in today's interview. And there's another theme that I've been noticing lately, this idea of being an organic nomad, becoming nomadic sort of organically. You didn't plan it, but then all of a sudden you just kind of turn in to this multi-year traveler who just, you're not even traveling anymore. You're just living on the road. That's exactly what happened to me when I started traveling. I'm not nomadic now, but I was for over a decade, and I had no idea when I mean, if you told me when I started I was going to be nomadic for that long, it wouldn't have even made sense in my brain, because I didn't even know that was a thing you could do. And maybe you're hearing that for the first time. Maybe you're like, whoa, hey, hold on, I can just live and travel and never have a home? That sounds awesome. Some people think that's crazy. I loved that life. I had that life for a while. And I'm digging being settled right now, too. This is a different chapter in life for me. And I'm digging that as well, because I had my time. And I never know. Maybe I'll have it again. I might have it again if I get the urge with my family. I have a couple kids, for those of you that may be new to the show. But what was interesting is my guest today, he also had kids, and he's a bit older now. His kids are grown. They moved out of the house and a bit of an empty nester. And he decided to take off and do a podcast around the world. And that's what he's doing. So I loved the topics we touched on, and I think they're applicable and beneficial and inspirational to you, no matter what age you are. And I know you're going to love this interview. Something else came up that I wanted to discuss with you. It surprised me, and I was wondering if it was true for myself when Paula, my guest today, mentioned this. The fact that he feels like he may be closer to his kids, his loved ones, than he was when they were all living together, which I thought was really interesting, because I had never really thought about that. I mean, I always just kind of, I think it's easy to generalize and assume, hey, well, when you travel, it's harder to maintain relationships and you're not seeing people on a regular basis, so things are just different. But he brought up a good point that they're just in touch more because he's traveling. And you know, reflecting on this, I'd have to say it's true for me sometimes with certain people in certain parts of that relationship. It's a different kind of bond. Certainly, you can't go out to eat together in person and hang out, and nothing beats hanging out in person. But if you are able to connect more, then I don't know, there might be a different kind of closeness there that you might not get at home. It's just an interesting question. I don't know if that's true for you or not, but it just got me thinking. So there was a lot of stuff that got me thinking in this interview, and I'm excited to share it with you now. Let's slip and slide into it, and please enjoy my conversation with the Radio Vagabond, and I will see you on the other side, my friend. Welcome to the party, and we're getting the party going today. I'm here with Bond, Radio Vagabond, Palabo from the Radio Vagabond podcast, and you can learn more about his work at theradiovagabond.com. He's doing a travel podcast from every country in the world, at least that's what the tagline says. I'm assuming that's still true. Paolo, welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. And I was just waiting for you to say those words. Welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend. So, yeah, yeah. so glad to finally be on your show.
Oh, man, it's an honor. And we've talked about doing this for so long. And I have to say, it's totally my fault that we haven't done it yet. Well, you were in Oslo at one point, but then it was like a...
It was very brief.
Yeah, like a 12-hour window or something, and then it just wasn't going to work out. So, and then we met.
And you being the family man that you are now, you're very.
That's the thing, man. It's time.
I know what it was like.
It's a little limited. Oh yeah, do you have kids or?
Yeah, but they're all. It's much easier now. They're 23 and 25, so okay. It's much easier now. So yeah.
So you were in the thick of it at one time. You know where I'm at right now. I got a 3.5-year-old and a 16-month-old at the time of this recording. So yeah, it's busy days, but wonderful days. I wanted to ask you, because you're home right now. You're from Denmark, right?
I am, yeah. Yeah, well, kind of home. I'm staying sometimes with my daughter, sometimes with my best friend. And so it varies.
Right, because you're a vagabond.
Exactly.
What brought you back there right now?
Well, I was at WTM in London, the World Travel Market, it's something I want to do every year. And it's so close to Denmark, and you can get cheap flights here. So I decided to jump to Denmark, and also a ton of people in my family are having birthdays in November, so it just including myself. So I just want to spend some time with friends and family and celebrate a couple of birthdays before moving on.
It is nice to dip your toes back into your home country, right? When you're, because you are truly nomadic, like you said, you're not living anywhere. I always wonder, what is the first thing you do when you get home? Like, everybody has their sort of quirks, I think. If they're out of their home country for a while, they might run to get like the burrito at their favorite burrito place, or like, you know, eat certain foods or see certain people, or like, what is the,
yeah,
what is your sort of hitting the ground running, like, oh, when I get back, I'm gonna gobble up this or do this thing?
There is the Danish rye bread, which is something that's difficult to get. Sometimes when you're in the US, they try to make it, but it's never quite right the way we do it. And then do the open face sandwiches with the remoulade, which is kind of a yellow mayonnaise type thing that's very unique for Denmark, and just the open face sandwich with nice rye bread. That's really something I miss and something I crave once I get back to Denmark. So the first thing I do, I go to the supermarket and really stock up. So when I'm at my daughter's place and I live on her couch, she just knows that the fridge is going to get filled up with a lot of nice traditional Danish rye bread and food. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're walking around Denmark and you see a guy salivating, looking like he's just coming off a crack cocaine high, that's just Paola with a loaf of rye bread underneath his arm.
Yeah. And my fellow Danes, they're looking at me and said, what's the fuss about?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you seriously, like, yeah, like in that moment, because I can put myself there, it's like, you know, the excitement is, it's amazing how excited you can get about like a piece of food.
Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes I also, when I get to the airport in Denmark and waiting for the suitcase, there's always a Danish hot dog stand. And Danish hot dogs are different than the ones you get abroad. So I sometimes get one of those as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to come over there and visit you when you're there at some point. And I have to try some of these. You're not that far, you know. What do your kids think about this whole nomadic existence? Did this come out of left field, or is this something that you talked about doing for a while? I don't even know how long you've been on the road.
I've been on the road for around three and a half years. And,
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And once I got the idea in 2013 and started traveling in 16. And I could see that when I got the idea that in the summer of 16, my youngest daughter would graduate and probably move out of the house. And so I thought, okay, that's my time when I'm going to be able to start traveling, because I wanted to... most of all, I just wanted to live somewhere else. So I toyed with the idea of moving to Cape Town or somewhere else where I could live for a couple of years. And then I thought, well, why settle with one place when I can work and do my radio production company from anywhere? Why settle with one place? So I started planning it. But in the beginning, Jason, it was just my idea to travel for a year or 2 years or something like that. I called my plan in the beginning around the world in 80 weeks, which is just something that sounded funny. But that's just a year and a half. And then I said, now it's going to be 2 years. And then now it's going to be 4 years. And now I feel like I've only just begun and I've been traveling 3.5 at this point. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How many countries have you been to so far? Do you have any idea?
I've been to, well, when I started, I had, I think, 23 or 25 UN nations, and now I'm up to 84, and before the end of the year, I'll be on 89. But who's counting?
So, I mean, when did this turn into, like, a quest to go to every country? Did this turn into a quest at some point?
It did. It wasn't at the beginning. In the beginning, it was just, maybe I'll do 70 countries. That was sort of my plan, and actually, it was so funny that we met. The only time we met in person was actually a week into my travel when we were at T-Bex in Stockholm. And I was totally the new kid in the class at T-Bex. But now I'm one of the regulars. And actually, I co-host and produce the T-Bex podcast now called Travel Matters. And but I was totally the new kid there. And I had this detailed plan on where to go. And a week later, it was out the window, and since then, I've never been back to it. I had this really detailed plan with a nice trip around the world, and that was it. And now, when you look at my map where I've been so far, it's like spaghetti on the map. It's all over the place and doesn't seem really to have any plan to it.
Yeah, I saw the map. You posted that because we're friends on Facebook. And when you posted that map, I was like, that's just great. Like, that's great that you just put time into putting that together. And it did look like a delicious plate of travel spaghetti, I guess.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, and just for those that are like, what is T-Bex? It's a travel blogging conference, and that's where we met in person. And
oh, yeah.
In Stockholm. So when you decided to leave, and you made the decision, you had the idea. The idea is one thing, and then the reality of it's another. I mean, certainly you don't need your kids' permission or anything like that, but was this a situation where you raised them in this particular house and now you were selling everything? Was it like a big change like that? What all went on personally for you to make that transition? Because this is the thing that a lot of people, I think, that are prepping to make a jump. This is where I like to get some advice around this stuff, because you've done it. And like you said, you didn't originally plan on going for 3.5 years, but now you're just vagabonding it all over. So yeah, what was that whole process like for you? Like, did you have some big decisions to make? How did you handle them?
Well, yeah, I didn't really answer your question on what does my kids say to it, but it's so funny. I feel like we're closer now than we were before. We speak more now every day, more now than when we lived in the same house, and that's kind of weird why it's like that. And we're super close, and they come to visit me. My youngest daughter, she had a gap year in the beginning of my journey, so she went traveling with me for 4 months in Asia. I even took her to North Korea. And actually, when she came back, she wanted to go to university to study law, but she changed her mind because that whole cultural experience of traveling in Asia made her so interested in the different ways that people live. So she's now studying anthropology in university. And yeah, and that came from that trip. She changed her mind when she came back. And she's actually probably going to Chiang Mai again, and we're meeting up again in January. We're talking about that because she's really in love with Chiang Mai, which is really the digital nomad hotspot. And I'm thinking about going to the Nomad Summit over there that Johnny FD is hosting. My youngest daughter, my oldest daughter, she came to Tokyo, and we were together, the three of us. And also when I was in Cape Town, they flew down and visited me there. So we speak a lot, we write a lot on a Facebook chat, and then we just see each other. And when I see them, it's not like where have you been? Of course, it's nice to be back, to be able to sit across the table from them and have these deep conversations. But we can do that, with the different possibilities there with the internet.
Yeah, how was that for you as a father to give an experience like that to your daughter, be able to share that with her, and then have that impact her so much that it sort of redefined the direction of her life?
Well, it warms my heart, and they both enjoy traveling a lot. My oldest, she lived in London for a couple of years, and they enjoy seeing the world, and hopefully if I can inspire them to do that. When I ask them how do they feel about it, they say that they think it's cool, and I don't think it's something they just say. I think they're serious that it's kind of cool what their old dad is doing.
It's not probably the common thing for the middle-aged Danish dads to take off and live around the world.
And it's not, people say, was it either that or buying a Jaguar or getting a younger girlfriend? No, it was not a panic thing. It was just, I want to live life to the fullest, and I don't want to wait until I retire. And I'm still able to work. I still do a lot of work. So I'm partly a tourist, but I'm not on vacation. I go out and see places, but I also work.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really call it a trip because it's a lifestyle. I mean, this is your life and you're living it on the road. Leading up to that, I mean, had you traveled in this way before? I mean, you said you'd been to 20 plus countries in your previous travel life. Had you had any experience with this type of long-term travel? Is this something that, I mean, I know you had the idea in 2013, but was this something you thought about like even earlier in your life, but you had kids and what was your relationship to travel before all this?
No, it's kind of funny that I never did the gap year backpacking trip around the world when I was out of school. I went straight into my professional life, and I had fun doing that. I was a trained graphic designer before I went into radio, and then I've been working with radio, which is also my hobby and still is something I enjoy doing. So I don't have, and then I got a family and a wife and kids, and I never did the long term. I did travel a lot, especially around Europe. Coming from a European country, it was easy for me to see Europe. So I've been to a lot of Europe before, I never did the real extensive long term travel. It was always shorter trips and away on conferences around Europe and the US.
Did you sell everything? How committed were you when you first left? And what did you have to do? I mean, this goes back to the other question I asked is, did you have to make like major, I know it's a major life change because you're bringing your life on the road, but outside of that, were there some things at home that you had to do that were major life changes? Or did you kind of keep a place? Like, how did you handle that?
No, I had a house, and I sold my house, when I made the plan and I made the decision, I had some stuff that I needed to fix with my old house. So in order for me to get a decent price when I sold it, so I spent some money and some time into making the house better, and then I put it up for sale and managed to sell it at the price that I wanted.
Was that scary? No, cutting that cord?
No, not at all. No,
you were right.
For me, it was
ready.
Not. It was not. It was a nice place, but it was nothing. Some people said, why didn't you rent it out so you can get it when you get back? I said, no, for me, it's just a house, and I didn't have that feeling to it. So I sold my house, and then I sold all my furniture. I have a storage room, but it's only for my vinyl records and my books and a few personal items. But all my furniture is gone, and A couple of months before, when I could feel that my house, I was still living in my house and was selling my furniture, and it was getting more and more echo in my living room. I had this out of comfort zone experience where I thought, "What the hell am I doing? Is this?"
So there was a moment.
Mistake? Yeah, there was a moment where I thought, "Oh, this is a big mistake. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to be on my own couch, watch Netflix in a fetal position. I don't want to go anywhere. What am I doing?" So, but then once I got on the bus out of my city, it was because I also sold my car. I never looked back, and it's been exhilarating ever since.
Exhilarating is a great word. I mean, we're going to get into some of the things you've done on this trip for sure. I want to talk a little about your radio career. How long have you been working in radio?
Oh, I almost have a 35 years anniversary in January. I started in 85, so yeah, it's a long time ago. And in the beginning, it was just a hobby while I was doing the graphic design thing. But then it took over more and more, and I co-founded a small radio station with a group of friends. Most of all, not because we wanted to start a business, but because we wanted to be able to make the kind of radio that we wanted to listen to, and maybe our friends wanted to listen to, a very tiny local radio station.
That's like how great things, the best things start.
Yeah,
right?
It's kind of like Simon Sinek when he says, start with why. But that's what we did. And now, almost 30 years later, we run 17 radio stations, and I'm still a co-owner. And that's kind of fun. And one of the co-founders, he's the manager, and he runs the place. I don't have anything to do with it, but it's nice. It's a nice feeling to know that you started something and still in some way a part of something nice.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, I was going to say that sounds like a lot of work, but it sounds like you're not involved in that, the operational part of it.
No, not at all. Not at all. But they're doing well, and I see it sort of as a nice investment for me now. And we're going into different things as well. We have a weekly newspaper, and then the natural next thing when you have local radio stations in Denmark and a small newspaper is to have some cattle in Nicaragua. That's the obvious next thing, Jason.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, that was the exact thing I was thinking.
and actually also a part of a couple of hotels down there. So yeah, it's a funny thing to invest in, but it's a nice thing. It's a cattle company where we support the local farmers as well that we invested in. So we have... I think out of that cattle company, we have what is the equivalent of 300 cows in Nicaragua. And the cattle company, and since I have 10%, 30 of those cows are mine. The company buys the calves and gives them to the local farmers, and then they take care of them and put them on grass and make sure that they are fed up. And then the cattle company sells them and shares the profit 50-50 with the local farmers. So it's a thing where we support the local farmers in Nicaragua and then at the same time make money on doing it. So I think it's a nice thing.
What do you love about audio?
Oh, oh, I can really go on for a long time. I feel that audio is the most visual medium of all, because the pictures that you make are your own. They're more vivid, they're more colorful than what you can get when you look at a picture, because that's a one-to-one interpretation of what the thing is that you want people to see. But here, with audio, you can really make your own pictures. It's kind of like when you read a book and then see the movie, you're not really happy with it, because the pictures that you made in your mind are different than the ones that you see. So in my podcast, I really try to record on location with a lot of the local sounds as I'm walking around in an area. So you get the local language in the background, or maybe a mosque in Morocco on one in the left side, or the scooters of Hanoi with the horns. And you get the feeling that you're there with me when you listen to it, and very often with headphones when you listen to a podcast. So that's the way I try to do my podcast, is really to get the sound effects of a place into the storytelling, and try to bring my listeners along.
How has the project, the podcast project, changed your travel experiences? I know in my experience doing some podcasting on the road, and just podcasting anywhere in general, I mean, I'm obviously a huge fan of the medium, but I've gotten to have an education and conversations with people that it never would have happened, probably, because there was no sort of reason to have the conversation in the first place. So it creates this space to have a thoughtful conversation around travel or whatever it is, like we're doing today, and just to connect with so many people. And I know on the road that can really be amplified in a different way. I mean, you now have a great sort of excuse to engage with locals on a different level. I mean, how has that changed your travel experience, for the better or for the worse? I mean, you can highlight some of the positives and negatives.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, because I really feel that bringing the microphone and having the podcast gives me an excuse to meet people that I'm not sure I would have met anyway. It gives me an excuse to call up people or write to people and say, is there a chance that I can come talk to you, or that you can take me on a visit to this and this and this? And I really feel that, and it doesn't have to be a podcast, it can be a blog, it can be any type of content where you get an excuse. So I really recommend that if people want to go travel, they try to document it in one way or the other, because it gives me experiences that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So that's one of the reasons I'm doing it. So I'm still enjoying doing it. It is a lot of work, and especially the way I do mine, I spend so much time editing. So I could easily spend 2-3 full working days editing one 30-minute episode, which is crazy. And so it's a lot of work, but I really enjoy doing it. And like I said, I went into radio and audio production because it was a hobby, and it still is. So that's the reason I started my podcast. And it's kind of like when we started the radio station. It was never a thing where I thought this is going to give me money or opportunities, but it's giving me more of that now. That's just an added value to it, but I really enjoy doing it.
Yeah, this came out of passion, and yeah, check out the podcast if this is resonating, because as you can hear, Paula's a professional at audio, and he also spends a lot of time putting his episodes together, and you do really get taken to a place. You know, this is an interview show, and I try to do things on the road, but I'm not on the road all the time like you are, so you really do a wonderful job of just capturing these places and taking us along for the ride. So it's a really, really cool, man. Congrats on all that. I know it's a labor of love and a ton of work and a ton of hours, and you can see that. You know, what are some of the one or two sort of standout meetings you've had, like people you've gotten to speak with that you never, you know, would have thought you would have had a chance to, or that surprised you in some way, just through having this podcast while you're traveling?
Oh, there's been so many. There's been so many from when I was in the Gambia. I became good friends with the local security guard, and he took me for a drive around the area. And we and he's also in his free time. He's also doing radio, so we had this common bond there. And he's still a good friend of mine, and we communicate all the time as well. There's also been the local butcher in Tishnit in Morocco that became a good friend of mine, and we also communicate from time to time. And he invited me to his house after I sat down and interviewed him for the podcast, and that's also a unique experience. But there's been so many. There's been the trans woman from North Carolina that I contacted because of the podcast, because they had a pride parade in North Carolina of all places, and she invited me to the place, and I had a chance to talk to her as well through the podcast, and that was a unique experience as well. So there's been so many different experiences where the podcast has really opened doors for me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's amazing too when you can get some lifelong friends out of it. Like I didn't know I was going to do it, but I did a podcast when we went trekking in Nepal. It's called Trekking Nepal. And we just became really tight with our guide. And I was just curious. So I started asking him questions and recording. And we're still in touch to this day. He sent us pictures of his son who was recently born. We get to have a lifelong friend there that we hope to see soon. So it's a lovely thing that can connect people in unexpected ways, for sure. All the work you're doing along the road, I'm just wondering if that took some getting used to. And then I do want to talk a little bit more about like some travel and some of your experiences in a moment. But I wanted to get some tips on bringing your work with you, because like you said, this is not just a trip where you're, you know, resting on your giant pension or something.
Oh, and not at all.
just traveling around. You got a business to run, and I'm sure you have clients and different things. So was that an adjustment for you in the beginning? And how do you advise that people kind of handle that?
Yeah, well, my location independent work is different than most people. I have not met anyone else that does what I do when I'm in the nomad community. But it's kind of, there are some similarities to other businesses as well. The challenging thing was me was not being able to do the work, because my core business, especially when I started traveling, was producing radio commercials for agencies and brands in Denmark, and I was able to do that anywhere. Obviously, I can come up with an idea and I can write a script, and then I can find the actors and I put them in the studio that I'm working with in Copenhagen, and I'm on Skype directing them, and then I get the recordings and do the editing, and voila, a finished radio commercial. Here's an MP3.
Boom.
Yeah.
And done.
That's the easy part. But the challenging part that I did not expect would be so challenging was to still keep my network afloat. Because I never really went out and seek up clients. I never really called clients. I never went around knocking on doors. But I was in a lot of network groups in Denmark, and being that, I was top of mind. And once I started traveling, I was sort of, they forgot me.
You were ghosts. You disappeared.
So, and obviously also because I post so much about now I'm here in this exotic location and then this exotic. And even though I felt like I said it so many times, I'm not. I'm still working. I'm not on vacation. I did not close my company. A lot of people, they thought that I did. So
haven't accepted the unorthodox lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. So after a year or so, I thought, okay, the phone is not ringing so much as it used to. So I was what to do here. So I made some changes, and I made more of a presence online, and invested some money in some AdWords and some Google, and did some more promotion for me there, and really tried to do that. And then I got more and more into podcasting. So I would say now 70% of my income comes from producing podcasts for clients. I did two seasons of the Lego Technique podcast last year, and right now I'm working on another huge project for them. So that's my core business now, is producing podcasts, and I do that for several different clients, both Danish and also international clients. So, but it's been an adjustment, and the challenging part was keeping the network, and I wasn't aware before I started traveling that would be so much of a challenge.
Travel can always lead to unexpected things, right? I mean, you're passionate about podcasting. It's completely, I wouldn't say completely flipped your business, but kind of. If you were doing minimal podcasts before, and now you're saying that's 70% of your business, but it's also something you love. I do find that some of the big fears around traveling can be, I mean, certainly if you're running a business or anything, it doesn't really, you don't have to be running a business. It can be really anything that you're afraid of letting go or losing, or afraid that it will change. Now, no one can say that, you know, the business wouldn't have decreased if you had stayed in Denmark and kept going to the networking events. One can never know, but you assume it wouldn't have, because you would have maintained your relationships. But it sounds like this also opened up a new avenue for your business that you wouldn't have considered. So I think that's empowering. Like, if you're somebody listening to this and you're thinking about, oh, well, how is travel going to impact this or that or the other, just trust that. I mean, at least it sounds like your experience and my experience as well, it opens up these hidden doors, these new opportunities that might not have crossed your path before. I mean, listen, I wouldn't be talking into this microphone right now if I'd never traveled, because I never in a million years would have thought that being a nomad as I was back in the day was like a valuable skill or even something anybody would be interested in that you could talk about.
It wasn't even a thing back then.
Well, no, there weren't all these blogs, and there weren't, you know, podcasts and all this stuff. So it's, I don't know. I mean, most people just told me, I was like, when are you going to get a real job? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Usually it was a negative thing. So, hey, things do have a way of working out, I think, if you follow your heart, follow your curiosity. It's just kind of wanted to bring that up. So thanks for sharing that. Let's talk about some of your experiences on the road. I know that you did the world's biggest bungee jump. How tall was that? What was that like? And then we're going to play a clip from that.
Oh, you're going to hear me screaming. No, actually it was, when I was in Macau, it's very close to Hong Kong. So I went to Macau, and, outside of my hotel room, I could see the Macau Tower. And actually it was, the day after the U.S. election in 2016, so I was sitting in my hotel room watching that, and I thought, okay, now I might as well just jump off that tower. So I went to the tower, and got up there, and then I did the world's highest bungee jump. It's 233 meters. How much is that in feet? You would know that, Jason.
It's a lot. I mean, if you roughly times it by three, it's probably a little under 700.
Yeah. So it's insane. And I decided to do that and record the whole thing. So I put that out in my podcast.
All right. Well, here's a clip of the man himself, Bond, Vagabond, jumping off the highest, world's tallest bungee jump, I guess.
Yeah. When I came out to the area of the platform, I was placed in a special chair where I got the last equipment on. My feet were tied together, and I could feel my heart starting to beat like crazy.
This is so scary. And I One of the two guys in charge of my jump ties a small GoPro camera to my arm, but the whole thing was also filmed by three different cameras. He points at one of the cameras and holds up a sign and grins. The sign says, "I need new underwear." In the video recording, I can see myself trying to laugh before I put on a very serious face. It was almost time. And with a safety line on my back, I take tiny steps out on the platform, out on the scaffold. Here, the long bungee cord is secured to the harness by assistant number two. The only thing I can remember thinking while I was waiting for him to finish is, I'm not doing this. I'm just not. How the hell did I end up here? Now I'm just half a meter from the edge, and with 15 tiny steps, I move further so my toes are just over the edge. I remember I'm scared falling down, even though that's technically the point of it all. Assistant number two has a tight grip in my harness, and suddenly I feel a hand from the grinning guy from before. I'm still thinking, I'm just not doing this. And then I can feel his hand, the human contact. I just want to hold on to this hand and never let go. I just wanted to give him a hug and make him say, "Don't worry, it was just a joke, you don't have to do this." But I know it's not gonna happen, and that I can't hesitate and have second thoughts right now. I'm on the edge with my arms out to each side. I'm hyperventilating and thinking, this is it, when they start the countdown.
Here we go! 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
wait a second, wait a second. What you're about to hear now is something that I'm not proud of. I didn't think that I was going to scream, but I did. I screamed like I've never screamed before. I screamed until there were no more air in my lungs. Then I took a deep breath and screamed some more, because I was still falling.
That sounded insane.
Yeah. And people say, "Oh, you want to do it again?" I said, nope. I got the t-shirt, so no, I don't
once
need to do it again.
Once was enough.
Yeah.
Once was enough.
And whenever I see another, I think, yeah, well, I've done the highest, so I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm about to go to Dubai, back to Dubai, and I'm hoping that I'll get the opportunity to do the skydive over the Palm. I like to do that, but
yeah,
I hate heights.
How crazy. I'm surprised that you actually took the leap. But you can hear in your voice that you hate heights there. That clip. If you're reflecting back on the last 3.5 years on the road and just gut reaction, what first comes into your head, what are like the one or two kind of things that really stand out as memorable, as, and maybe they represent something bigger, but what just pops in your head?
Well, memorable. Well, I think the thing that gives me most from traveling is all the people that I meet around the world. That for me is the best thing about traveling. Is when I think of anywhere in the world, there's a good chance that I know somebody who's there, or somebody who lives there, or somebody who's been there that can give me an advice. So that's really, I think, the coolest thing about traveling. And then obviously there are a lot of places where I thought, okay, this was so great, I just want to go back here and I want to explore that some more. And people say the more you travel, the smaller the world gets. But for me, it's the other way, that it gets bigger and bigger, because there's always a corner that I didn't visit and somewhere where I want to go back to.
Yeah. It always comes down to the people, right? Like, it's never a good idea to stress too much about seeing this site or that site, because when you do look back, it's those interactions. Is there a culture that, or a country that you visited that resonated with you in a special way, in a way where either it felt like home or it felt like something familiar?
I love my home country, and I couldn't imagine living anywhere else once I stopped traveling. But the only place that I really could consider staying for good is Cape Town. I have a thing with South Africa, and especially Cape Town, and it's one of my favorite places in the world. And I've been there twice, and it's a place that I will keep coming back to, and every time stay a little bit longer than I do in other places. I really enjoy it there, the nature, the people, the it's a modern city, and it's cheaper than what I'm used to in Denmark. So yeah, and for Norwegians it would be like a tenth of the price. No, it's really a cool place, and that's a place that I could see myself staying. But other places I enjoy as well, and want to go back to.
What are some of the things that you've done to stretch your budget on this long journey?
Yeah, I've done a lot of couch surfing, especially if I'm doing a road trip. I've done that a lot in the US, a lot of couch surfing, and then I've done quite a bit of house sitting as well. I'm on Trusted House Sitters, and I've done I think 8 house sits so far, and it's a good thing where you don't spend as much money, and you have a place to stay, and especially when it's in my case that I know that I'm going to be doing a lot of work, then just to have a place where I can be and have some dogs to walk as a distraction. I enjoy house sitting, and that's something that I want to do some more. But I also sometimes I go on buses instead of flying. I did that a lot in Africa, and from place to place. I did a long journey all over land because flights are so expensive in Africa, and I want to stretch my budget. I also do a lot of hostels, and in the beginning of my journey, I thought, nah, I'm too old for hostels. It's just a bunch of 20-year-olds. And now I enjoy doing it, and I don't even mind staying in dorm rooms. And it's not only is it cheaper than staying in your own place or having a hotel room, but it's a really cool way to make friends. I spent 10 days in San Diego recently where I made some really, really good friends that I'm going to be seeing a lot more of in the future, I'm sure. So these are some of the things that I do in order to stretch my budget, but then try not to go as much to restaurants, cook your own food and stuff like that.
I'm glad you brought up the hostel thing, because I do think that's can be like exactly what you said. Somebody that's, how old are you?
I just turned 55. Can you believe it?
No, you look 45 years young. Yeah, I just think this can be a common, I don't know if it's even a misconception, because a lot of hostels do have younger people, but there are all kinds of hostels out there. I think the hurdle is, well, that's one hurdle. It's like this idea of, am I going to fit in? But then the other one is, yeah, like, does it make sense for the experience I want to have? I mean, yeah, just speak to that a little bit more. Like, it sounds like you had the same sort of reservations about staying in hostels, but the reality of that was quite different. I mean, what would be your take on that for people that are traveling that are older and they have those reservations themselves? I mean, what has been good about it?
Well, I thought, okay, if I'm staying in a hostel, at least I want a private room. But now and it can be different from person to person, no matter age, because I know people who are very light sleepers and they say, I couldn't sleep in a dorm room with the people. But
once, I rock the earplugs.
And once I sleep. So they could have a freight train running over my head and I wouldn't even notice. For me, that's not a big issue. And it's not. Would I prefer to have my own private space? Yeah, obviously. But it's something when there's a place you can put your valuable stuff and lock that away, and then it's fine, and There's also always a nice common area where you can be just hang out or be with your computer and do some work and then start chatting with people. And I wouldn't worry. I would give it a try. And if you're over 40 and you think that you're too old, think again and just try it out. And I'm often one of the oldest in the hostel, but not always the oldest. it can be done.
Hey, it can be an advantage. You're like, hey, who's this old guy? He seems interesting. What's he doing? Yeah. Oh, just doing a travel podcast in every country in the world. Oh, okay.
Yeah, just make sure that you're not the... I think it was Adventures Kate that said at a talk once, don't be the creepy old guy hitting on the young 20-year-olds. Right. I'm not that guy.
That's great. This ties in with my next question, which is loneliness. Do you get lonely out there on the road doing this on your own?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't. I for one
because
thing,
you're
I,
that type of person or because...
Yeah, and also because I enjoy my own company. I can easily be just myself. Say when I'm house sitting, it's often me and the pets, and I see the people in the supermarket and don't really see many people, and I'm fine with that. But I don't feel lonely also because of social media and the way that you're able to connect to people all the time and friends and family. And also I am partly because of my podcast, I go out and meet people, but also I join Rotary meetings. I join Toastmasters meetings. Different meetups wherever I am, and try and go out and meet people. I always, when I get to a new city, I always one of the first things I do is check out: is there a free walking tour here? So I do a little bit of sightseeing, so I can get a sense of where I am. And in that case, you also get to meet people that you might hang out with later. But for me, I don't get lonely. I don't feel it's a problem. On the contrary, I meet so many different people around the world, and for me, it's not an issue.
Yeah, those are great tips, I think, too. Just getting plugged in to a community if you're looking for the free walking tours. Toastmasters is an international speaking club,
and they're all over the place.
They're all over the place. Okay, Rotary Club. I've never been. I've been to a Toastmasters. I've never been to a Rotary Club. Is that similar?
Yeah, well, it's a worldwide organization, and I used to be a Rotary member in Denmark, and there's always a way to look for a club, and then if you write to them and say, I know that I can see on the website that you have a meeting next Thursday, is it okay if I come join you? And unless it's something they're doing a special thing for the club only, they are always welcoming people from all over the world to come and join them. And that's obviously something I try to do in countries where they speak English. I don't do it when I'm in Hungary, unless it's an international club, and there are also some of those. But as far as I know, Toastmasters, that's always in English, no matter where you are in the world. So it's a cool thing to join a Toastmasters meeting.
Okay, and what's the best place for people to find you? And I got one more question for you, but I'm assuming it's theradiovagabond.com. Should they just go there?
Yeah, and if you want to listen to the podcast, it's search for The Radio Vagabond, and remember to have the Radio Vagabond. Otherwise, you get the Danish version, and I don't think you want that unless you want to practice your Danish. But then again,
or
why
you
would you?
The Radio
The
Vagabond.
The Radio Vagabond.
It's funny. The. Okay. Yeah. The Radio Vagabond. Yeah. There is no other.
The one and only.
That's great, man. I've loved this conversation. Last thing, and you can imagine that you're talking to your kids, but this could be really anybody at any age. What would you tell them about travel? Like, what would you tell the person that... I know your daughter's been with you on a four-month trip, but for those that have the ability to do so, obviously, that's a disclaimer that should go across this entire podcast, right? Like, but for those with the means and the passport and the ability to go, what would be your advice about travel as a thing?
for me, it's something that makes me more creative, and it opens my senses, and it teaches me a lot about the world that we're living in. And I feel that it's never too late to learn something, and I feel these last 3 years of traveling and having been to so many places, it's really taught me a lot, and I know a lot more about different cultures and different people and the different destinations that I knew before. And once I stopped traveling full time in 10-15 years or so, I will be a wizard playing a Trivial Pursuit. That's the thing that I'm striving for. So if you're considering doing it, make some adjustments and find a way to get it, make it happen. You don't necessarily have to travel all the time, but I would really suggest that you try to do it, and then maybe consider spending money in a different way. Because when I stop traveling, Jason, I will never get the big house again. I will always start. I would always keep traveling in some form or another. So I'll just get a small place when I stop traveling, so I don't put money into bricks and having an expensive place to maintain. I will put my money into more traveling, because it's something that really gets into your blood, and something that I want to do for the rest of my life, I'm sure.
Yeah, there are a lot of aspects of it that, of course, can change your life back home as well, as you just mentioned, and that you take with you forever. Man, thank you so much. And I'm glad we finally revealed the big secret you've been holding, the facade running with this whole Radio Vagabond thing.
We're not over yet. We will continue this conversation the Radio Vagabond.
That's true. I'm going over to your podcast next, so you guys have to check it out. I'm gonna get on the other side of the mic. I'm a little scared now, but no. I was gonna say I think we revealed a big secret here about this whole thing you're running with this Radio Vagabond. This is all just Trivial Pursuit training.
It is.
That's all this is. You're waiting for that one epic match 10, yeah, 15 yeah. years from now. Yeah. So. Well, I'll be sure to not be involved in that game. I don't want to get crushed.
Oh, I'm sure you'll do fine.
Paola, thank you so much, and look forward to having our chat with you now over at the Radio Vagabond podcast. Check them out over there, and we'll be in touch, and I hope we can cross paths soon and have a proper skull.
Yeah, you know, exactly. In person. Exactly. Yeah, and for people who's like me, listening to Zero to Travel for a long time, I bet you are curious about who is Jason really, and when it comes down to it, how did he become that travel junkie that he is? So that's what we're going to be revealing over on the Radio Vagabond.
Oh boy, and I will also be revealing that I am in Trivial Pursuit training as well. So
cool.
All right, take care.
Yeah.
There you have it. I want to thank my friend Paola for stopping by once again, and go check out his podcast. I am going to be on it the same day this publishes. Actually, we're publishing the same week, so if you guys want to hear us flip the script a little bit, he interviews me, I get to interview him. You can check out his podcast, and he's got a ton of other great travel stuff there for you as well. So please enjoy that. And hey, thank you, my friend. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world all the time, things happening, but you took the time to be here today and hang out with me, and I so appreciate that. I always bring it up. I'm sorry. I am really this grateful for this community. This is a community-powered show. I am here to serve you. So if you have any specific guests or topics you want me to cover, just send me an email. If you want to share your story, just say hi. Let me know what you're up to. Send me an email, jason@zerototravel.com. Love getting emails from listeners. Send me a picture of a sunset that you're watching. Send me, I don't know, I like to get pictures too of people listening to this podcast around the world. I just love to get emails and hear from listeners. So reach out anytime, and I read all of those emails. So thank you to everybody that's taken the time to write or leave a review. I do want to give a shout out here to one of you fine souls, beautiful souls in the Zero to Travel listening community. First, I want to say a quick thank you once again to Tortuga Backpacks for supporting today's show. ZeroToTravel.com/Tortuga. That link will get you 10% off anything you order at Tortuga Backpacks. So if you go through that link, just do your shopping. When you check out, that 10% discount is going to kick in just for you, my friend. And I talked about the day pack. I use the set out backpack all the time. And these are backpacks I use when I'm not traveling too. I use them at home. You know, some of my backpacks, I've gotten travel backpacks before where they're great for when you're out on the road, but then you come home and you don't really have much use for them. My hiking backpack, for example. But with the Tortuga bags, I use them all the time. It's not just when I'm traveling. They're in my rotation in my daily life. So talk about value. I'm always trying to get value out of the things I purchase. I don't like to bring a lot of things into my life. I like to save my money for experiences rather than things. So I like to get quality things, and I like to get things that I can use regularly. And outside of that, these are just awesome backpacks. So check them out. If you go to zerototravel.com/Tortuga, you will go to a page that shows the gear that I recommend there. And then if you do get anything, you get 10% off, and you're also supporting this show because I'm an affiliate for them. So thank you so much for going there and checking out zerototravel.com/Tortuga. And lastly, when you get your backpack, check out the state of South Dakota, travelsouthdakota.com. It's the first time I've gotten to promote a destination on the show. So when they reached out, I was like, I hope this works out, because I love talking travel and I love talking about and recommending places that I've enjoyed, that I've had a great time in, that I've been blown away by, that are fun to visit. And I know people that enjoy nature and good people and like a great road trip in America, they're going to love a trip through South Dakota. And that's why I was thrilled to bring them on the podcast and share with you. And I'm not asking you to like jump on a plane there right now or jump in your car and drive there. All you have to do is go to travelsouthdakota.com and grab their free trip planning guide. And then you can see for yourself, hey, maybe this is a place I want to go see. You're going to be surprised at how much this state has to offer. I certainly was when I visited. Travelsouthdakota.com. Thank you to them for supporting this show as well. See, we got you geared up there. You got your backpack, you got a destination, you're off and running. All right, a shout out here. This one goes to Lauren, who said, hey, Jason, hope you're well. I've recently found your podcast and been listening nonstop for the last 3 weeks. Thanks, Lauren. Binge listening. There you go. She goes on to say, I've always had a want to travel ever since I was a kid. Sadly, I never had anyone to travel with, and my parents were paranoid about me, a female, traveling by myself. 2 years ago, I started dating my boyfriend, who loves to travel and is supportive about my crazy traveler self. We have visited 6 countries and 7 states so far, Cuba being my favorite trip we've taken. I had my boyfriend listen to your podcast, which led us to having a real conversation about traveling more and being more location independent. I never thought a podcast would help bring up the fact that we both were craving more travel and more enriching cultural experiences. We do have a dog we love and can't leave behind, but we are both currently looking for jobs that we could do on the road to give us more time to travel. Thank you for sharing all the stories and advice. I'm finally going to have the life I've always dreamed of, and your podcast helped to make it possible. Happy travels, and thank you again, Lauren. Wow. I mean, when I saw the subject line, it said, finally going to start our dream life. Yeah, I'm humbled and honored to hear that the podcast helped facilitate a conversation between you and your boyfriend, and that you guys are starting to look at things through a different lens and understanding, hey, we're going to embrace this love of travel and like figure this out. I love the enthusiasm. I love that you're going after it. And I could just feel good vibes all through that email. So congratulations, Lauren. Thank you so much. And I just love to highlight people in this community who are either out there doing it or setting that intention to do it, or just, you know, maybe just trying to figure it out. It doesn't matter. We're all trying to figure things out together. And that's the beauty of having a community like this and understanding, hey, I'm going to share these stories here on the podcast. We're all going to get to benefit from these conversations, maybe change our perspectives, maybe come up with new ideas, maybe it's new places to go, or maybe it's a new way to live. It can be that extreme. In Lauren's case, that seems to be the case. So anyway, I know I just said case twice. Weird, huh? In Lauren's case, that seems to be the case. Anyway, professional podcaster here. Thank you so much for being part of this beautiful little corner of the podcast world. Sign up over at zerototravel.com if you want to keep in touch off the podcast. I'm always dishing things out to the email list there. You can hear about some exciting stuff coming up always if you're on the email list, so feel free to sign up there. I'll leave you with a quote. Should I pull one out of the quote drawer again? I have this drawer filled with these old calendar. They have these daily quotes in this calendar, so I stuff some of the ones I like in this drawer. Let's see what I got here. I'm going to pull this out and make sure I don't reuse one I used before. Hold on. Okay, here we go. This is from Chang Zhu. Your preciousness lies in your essence. It cannot be lost by anything that happens. There you go. Some food for thought. Have a nice day, evening, night, whatever, wherever you are. You're the best. Take care. Chat soon. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by ZeroToTravel.com. Ideas and advice to make your travel dreams a reality.